Sahanavatu, Sahanabhunaktu, Sahaviryam Prarabhavai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Offspring of the Anulomas and Pratilomas. These six Pratilomas beget similar races, Varna, on women of their own caste. They also produce the like with females of their own mother's caste, and with females of higher ones. Right. So in other words, if the idea is just as they, if someone who is of mixed caste marries someone of the exact same nature, the same mix, then you'll get the same thing again. It won't turn into something worse. Like if a Nishada marries a Nishada, they'll stay Nishadas. Right? It won't go into something worse, right? Same time as it's also the Pratilomas, okay? Their own caste, all the females of their mother's caste. Okay, so then that would, let's say, okay. No, but this is Pratilomas. Okay, so then that wouldn't be example. The Chandalas and the Chandala, they'll remain Chandalas, or a Sutta and a Sutta. So that means the Sutta marries, his mother would be a Brahmin, so if the Sutta marries a Brahmin, it also won't degrade.
Yes.
Right? Oh, excuse me, no, it would be the same thing, because it's actually still Pratiloma. His mother's caste is a Brahmin, so then they could also marry whoever's the mother's. Stays the same. Yeah, so they still stay within Pratiloma. Yeah. I think it would go by also depending on their nature, right? The sutta could either take up brahminical, kshatriya, or shudra duties, right? So then if he would be taking up brahminical, if he married a girl who was brahminical, then it would work, right? Yes.
Say that,
or he marries a Sutta girl.
If those mixed marry somebody who's not mixed, would it be better?
It's only if
same nature.
Only if it's higher. That'll be explained how to bring it back up. In other words, if they're mixed, then depending upon who they marry, then I think it's within five generations or seven for a Brahmin. You can bring it back up to then it's considered pure. Of that nature. Kshatriyas, I think, then it's two down from that, so it's five Vaishyas and three. You know, but you're talking about generations here. Those six mentioned above also beget the one on females of the other, a great many kinds of despicable sons, even more sinful than the fathers and excluded from the Aryan community, Vaha. So that means if they mix again, right? I mean, something else, then it gets even worse. Just as a Shudra begets on a Brahmin female, a being excluded from the Aryan community, even so a person himself excluded procreates with females of the four castes more worthy of being excluded than he himself. Right? In other words, he's already a mix, and then if the mix marries someone who's not mixed, then it gets worse. Right? There's a certain way it can be done, but if it's not done that way, then it won't function. A Shudra begets on a female being, okay, known as a Chandala. Yeah, so then the Chandala, then if he marries someone who's within the Varnas, that means they're higher again. That means it's Pratiloma again, because the Chandala is below the four. Then if he marries someone within the four, then it gets worse again. Okay. So in other words, it says it is, yeah. Okay. Okay, then. Okay. But from a chandala by a Pukasha woman is born the sinful Sopaka, who lives by the occupations of his sire, is ever despised by good men. So the Nishad is a Brahmin and a Shudra. Plus Shudra, you get a Pukasha. So that means, and then a Chandala is a Shudra plus a Brahmani. Okay, so now, so here you get Brahmin and Shudra, and then you're getting Shudra and Brahmin. But you've added in the point is that the Nishada being lower now has married a Shudra. Alright. So that means that it throws the Nishada into, Pratiloma. Right? So it's just one up. But still, that will be that. So then if that marries, then if she marries a Chandala, because it's Anuloma, it's actually better than Pratiloma. So that means it's again Pratiloma, the mix. You know what I'm saying? Because the girl is in a higher position. Even though she is a Pukasha, her position is still higher than a Chandala. Right? Does that make sense? So then you get this. In other words, 3 degrees of Pratiloma, the Chandala, a mix, you've got 3 degrees Anuloma, right? Does that make sense? And a Shudra is higher than either a Nishada or a Chandala. So in other words, it shouldn't go the other way, right? You see, it's all in the traditional history, you know, stories and all that. The guy's a prince. She's from some seeming common background. You know, you generally don't have the story where she's the princess and he's from a common background.
Only modern.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're traditional, it's always the other way around. Right? Because it's saying that a girl may be from this, but by her training and or by her nature, she's actually of a good position. But, you know, socially, then she goes according to what she is. Right? But if he's in that position, that's generally the nature. So then it wouldn't be so ideal. Nishada woman bears to a Chandala, a son called Antavasayin, employed in burial grounds and despised even by those excluded from the Aryan community. Right? So it's basically the same thing. Right, so you have 3 degrees of Pratiloma and 3 degrees of Anuloma in a Pratiloma mix. Right, because if it's the other way, it won't be as bad. Right? Mm-hmm. If you had the Nishada man and the Chandala woman, right, then it wouldn't be as bad. But when you have the Chandala man and Nishada woman, then it's. These races which originate in a confusion of the caste, that's why Prabhupada said, what the devotee said, oh, what are we, Prabhupada? He said, mixes of mixes. So, like that. These races which originate in a confusion of the caste and have been described according to their fathers and mothers may be known by their occupations, whether they conceal or openly show themselves. Right? Because the difficulty comes is that when it's Shankara, because the confusion, because that's the whole thing, is when we discuss Varnashram, then it's all, well, how do you figure out who you are? Yes. Because there's a confusion.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? You know, somebody, their father's a king, their mother's the queen, and you ask them, who are they? What are they going to say? Yeah, they're a prince, they're Kshatriyas, you know. The parents are Brahmins, they'll say, we're Brahmins. You know, the parents are businessmen, they'll say that. You know, the parents are artisans, they'll say. But the problem is because of the mix, it becomes harder to tell. But still, you work on how it comes out by their occupation. You know what I'm saying? That's how you can tell. So therefore, even if it's in a funny mix or something like that, if it comes out that it's a clean, the occupation is clean, then it's clear. Otherwise, then it's mixed. And then you decide what's the prominence or how it works or whatever the mix is. What are the strong points of both of those? Bring those out and avoid the weakness. The point is to be situated so that you know what to do and you're doing something, right? Because it's only by doing something that you're getting a benefit. Does that make sense? Devotional service means it's an activity. Service is being rendered. So then you figure out what to do. You know what I'm saying? Basically, this is just being pointed out because in the beginning it said that marriage should be of equal nature. Right? It means whatever is the common qualities, that should be the prominence in the relationship. If it's not, then you get mixes, and therefore then the occupational things get thrown off. Does that make sense? In other words, this is just what happens if you don't follow the directions given in the third chapter, right? On how the equal nature between the boy and the girl, you know, if they both perform their proper duties and all that, then you'll get, you know, what's there in the first six chapters. One doesn't, then one tends to get what's here, right? And because of that, that throws off, then you have to figure out how to figure out what to do. Right? Because then it becomes more difficult because the nature is not so strong, and so therefore how to figure out what occupation to situate yourself. Right? Because, does that make sense? Because ashram is straightforward. Yes. Right? It means if you're a devotee, you follow the brahminical ashram, and so that way as lifestyle one's brahminical. Right? So the question only comes up in occupation. Right? The confusion's not, you know, should I be chanting or not, or do I take prasad or not, or, you know, do I dance in kirtan or not, you know, I'm Shankara, so I don't dance in kirtan. No, it's none of those. It means the devotional activities, the daily lifestyle, getting up, taking a bath, these things aren't the problem. It's only an occupation that then it comes into question. Does that make sense? I mean, you do have the element, if there's a mix, sometimes the character isn't as strong. Right? By nature, but by devotional service, since actual character comes from the soul. Right? But if not, you're not functioning on that, you'll function on the character of your conditioning. Right? So what's there by your karma in the body. So then it may not be so great. But that the only way to actually correct that is by devotional service. Right? Because if that nature is not a good nature, therefore, it must be corrected by devotional service, if you want to do it this life. If you're worried about, you know, over, you know, 1,000 lifetimes, then you don't, okay, don't worry about it, if you got a plan, right? So then, you know, it'll take you so many lifetimes. But I wouldn't work on that, because you don't know if next life you'll still have the same determination, right? So for the same endeavor, you can go back to Godhead in one life, so why waste it trying to purify, you know, like that? Huh?
Regarding occupation, sometimes we have to accept an occupation that we are not enjoying very much. But
enjoying is one thing, it's whether you have the skill for it, if that's the nature to do.
Yes. We don't have the skill, so sometimes we've been forced by circumstances to accept a certain occupation in order to support our family.
Yeah, but that's what this is here. So then whatever the occupation, you follow the duties of it. The point is whatever you do, do it properly. Because only if you do it properly do you get proper results. Does that make sense? Yeah. The point is let's say you're doing business. If you do it properly, you'll get results. If you don't do it properly, you won't get, you know. If you work for somebody, you do it properly, then they'll be pleased, you'll move, you know, things will get better. But if you don't, it won't. Does that make sense? So the point is whatever you choose, do it properly and you get a good result.
What happens when we don't have the choice to choose?
No, but it's not a matter of choosing the job, it's what you do in the job. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It's like you walk into the kitchen and there's only limited ingredients. It's what you do with them that's important, not what ingredients you have. Does that make sense? That's the point.
Sometimes we see devotees, they've been stubborn in their varna. Like they decide on themselves, they're businessmen, in a way that they don't want to be shudra. And they fail.
Right. They'll always fail. That's why it says, may be known by the occupations whether they conceal or openly show themselves.
But the argument is, after some time, that they're panic. They are businessmen. They have that kind.
Okay, but even if you want to do that, then you make an endeavor at business. You can't not make that endeavor and not try to be successful and sit back and just say it's my karma to not be successful. The point is if they're karma, then be doing what will make you successful, because results that you're getting now are from your previous, but your future results come from what you do now. You know? So they have to therefore do what's correct. You can't. There's never an option to sit back and say, well, it's my karma, so whatever happens. You can do that if you're just sitting down and chanting Hare Krishna all day. You know, but that's something you do on your own. You know, you don't sit down and do that and then the rest of your family does everything. You know, it means you just do that. Then, okay, then you don't worry about it. Is it? Okay. Okay, status of this mixed varnas. Six sons begotten by Aryans and women of equal and the next lower caste, Anantra, have the duties of twice-born men. Right? In other words, Brahmins with Brahmins, Brahmins, Kshatriya, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Vaishya. Brahmin, Kshatriya, how do you say? Kshatriya, Vaishya. Yeah, Vaishya, Shudra, but no, it says duties of twice-born men. Vaishya, Shudra, but... Yeah, so then Anantra. Yeah, so then he could. Generally, they work on that. They could do whatever it is on there or do the next one. So then he'd probably still act as a Vaishya. So they would have the duties of twice born men. All those born in consequence of violation of the law are regarded as regards their duties, equal to Shudras. Yeah, it comes out, means he has that nature, but. Social status, he could function as a... Oh, okay. Brahmin plus Brahmani, Brahman, Kshatriya, 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 Vaishya, 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 Brahman, Kshatriya, Ananta, Brahman and Vaishya, Basta. Oh. Okay, but if they're born out of wedlock or not against the laws, then they are considered shudras. So another thing, anything born that's not according to the rules, then just the automatic is just shudra. In other words, it's just common. It's just ordinary. I mean, if you want something special, then it has to be dealt with in a special way. By the power of austerities and of the seed from which they sprang, these races obtain here among men more exalted or lower rank in successive births. Okay, 64. Okay, we'll get to that. Okay, we've already discussed how it gets lower, and then later discuss about getting higher. But in consequence of the omissions of the sacred rites, and of their not consulting brahmanas, the following tribes of kshatriyas have gradually sunk in this world to the condition of shudras. So, in other words, the omission of rites, so that means the vratya. And by not consulting with Brahmins, then they'll whimsically do whatever they want. That's what drops them down into the shudra, because whimsical means mode of ignorance. So then that's the natural. They're not performing the rites to keep them in their position, and they're acting whimsically, so then that just drops them. The Pandrikas, the Krodas, the Kodas, the Dravidas, the Kambojas, the Yavanas, the Shakas, Paradas, Plavas, the Kinas, Kiratas, and the Daradas. All those tribes in this world which are excluded from the community of those born from the mouth, arms, legs, and feet of Brahman are called Dasyus, whether they speak the language of the Mlechas, barbarians, or that of the Aryans. Right, so in general, just the general classes, Dasyu, just means they don't fully follow. Okay. rules concerning the mixed varnas. To suttas belong the management of horses and of chariots. Okay. Then, yeah, so that's theirs, because that's how we got the, what's his name? Karna, right? Means that would be what they would do, is they would take care of horses and chariots. But you could see by his occupation that he was following a kingly occupation. Though there were the faults of his birth, but still, he was a kingly occupation. So therefore, you define him by that. You understand? Because that's what it said before, is any of these mixes or anything that's considered improper, then you can define it by their occupation. Romaharsha Sutta, because he's a Sutta. Means there, because in others, because it said that they can, because the mix is more difficult, so then therefore there'll be the thing is that there's the nature of the mother, the nature of the father, right? So the mother is Brahman, the father is Kshatriya. So they could either take up Brahminical or Kshatriya duties, but because of this Pratyaloma mix, it tends to drop it. So then they could end up as, so if they take those, they would be there, but if they don't have those natures, then they would take care of chariots and horses. Sutta's Pratyaloma. So in other words, you take how they function. So there might be the element that they do what the mother does, they may do what the father does, but if they don't do either of those, then it tells where they dropped it. You know?
They may change during their lifetime?
Why would they change?
Mixed
in. Not necessarily, because the mix is a mix. It's just like if you take, you know, salt, you take sugar, you take sour, you know, and put that all together, then you end up with, you know, a chutney. And it'll remain a chutney. You come back after, you know, in the afternoon, it's still the same chutney. But it's a chutney, it's not a sabji, or it's not a sweet. You know what I'm saying? If it's salt's the predominance, it's a sabji. You know, sweet's the predominance, it's a sweet. But this is, it's got salty and sweet. They're both bumps. So there it ends up as a chutney. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it'll remain that way. By devotional service, then you might see that they, in other words, if there's options that they could do, they might move up through those options.
So they kind of can get either salty or sweet, more or less?
But it depends on what the parents are, right? It means, let's take the sutta, okay? The mother's a Brahmin, father's a Kshatriya, okay? But there's no inclination for either of those. So then his natural thing will be to take care of horses and chariots, okay? Now, that's what he's doing. He takes up devotional service, he gets purified. Then you might see that he starts getting, the Kshatriya nature starts to become a little bit more, and then with time, the Brahminical nature. That you might see. You won't see something that's outside the mix. Does that make sense? Let's say that they're Brahmins by nature, but they're Vratyas, right? So that means they're acting as Shudras. So by devotional service, then they may get purified, you see them come up to that Brahminical nature. But of the mundane, they would just stay as they are. But what do they do? What does the mother and father do? Okay, and then before them? Yeah, it means there's always been that, then that would stay in there. Then it's a matter of what you can do within that. You know what I'm saying? So then, because of then whatever arts you're using, how you can use them, because skilled trades and that can function. Right? Skilled trades. Some kind of art can be used. Now, if one, you can either use it by working under someone who is organizing that, or you can organize it yourself. But the difference is that then it will remain small. You know what I'm saying? Just like in Calcutta, you see these people make musical instruments. Now, who makes the instruments? They're Shudras, right? So, but much of the time, they work for a businessman who organizes so many and therefore makes so many instruments or so much volume of instruments. Or they work on their own and then they just make how much they can personally make. You know what I'm saying? So but the point is it's their own business. But technically they're not businessmen, but they're running a business. But their business is just the skill and only how big they can. But they basically wouldn't be able to organize other people who make the instruments. You know what I'm saying? The businessman would. He may have, 20 guys that make the instruments, right? And then all the assistants who do little things, like one guy just makes knobs, they go on the sitar. Someone else just does this, or someone just does carving. But so the shooter guy, he knows how to put the instrument together and he can do much of it or all of it, but he may hire guys to do the parts, but he won't be able to get other instrument makers, full instrument makers, to work with him. You know what I'm saying? Unless they somehow or another are good friends and relationship, they might be able to do. But in other words, it can't get big. They won't be big, the advertised going out and this and that. Does that make sense? But it still is a business. So you could, that's what it mentions, is the shudra can run himself something independently. But it should be something, that's needed within the community, otherwise why they'll buy it? Because he's not in a position to take something you don't need and make people buy it. That Vaishyas know how to do. Right. Is that okay? Is that work? Better? Huh? Okay. Yes.
If the mixed varna takes up devotional service, he comes back to the pure varna.
No, it's not that he comes back to the pure varna. It's he has his nature, it gets purified. You know what I'm saying? They're not from someone who's practicing the Varnashram system. Right? So therefore they'll fall within these four varnas, but it's not very scientific. So they'll take up devotional service, then you can say it goes from the non-scientific into the scientific. Right? If that's their nature. But if the mixed elements, then it's a matter of those mixed elements, those are what you're dealing with. So it's just a matter of they can do those particular skills. Now it's just a matter, they can do it for Krishna, so it's not so much of a problem, right? Because they may be able to do this one thing and do something else. But within the mundane context of occupation, that position might be available, might not be. So then it's a problem how to balance those things. You know what I'm saying? The point is the devotee by nature is brahminical. Here, what we're talking here is occupation. So the devotee will have all the good qualities of the demigods as a devotee, right? And have all those brahminical qualities as a person. But we're talking about what kind of intelligence and skill he has as an occupation. Does that make sense? So that's specifically just where this what this chapter is on. Okay. The chandalas and swapachas. But the dwellings of chandalas swapakas shall be outside the village. Right? Because they have a tendency to
surrounding pets,
yes. Yeah, yeah. Like that, man's got to eat, right? A man who fulfills a religious duty shall not seek intercourse with them. Their transactions shall be among themselves, and their marriages with their equals. Right? So here, intercourse means that social interaction. Right? Like that. They're breaking it up more, but it means all these divisions are there all over the world. It's just a matter of whether they're recognized or not. In India, you do see it to some degree.
Yeah, like they will never clean some parts, you know, those
clean them. Yeah, no, you still see those, you still see these breakdowns, but it'll be based on pride and all that, you know, as opposed to being based on, you know, just this is the duties and this is how it works. It won't be just based on just the facts, it's based on pride. At night they shall not walk about in villages and towns, because there's the element of stealing or other things like that. Right? By day they may go about for the purpose of their work, distinguished by marks of the king's command. They shall carry out the corpses of persons who have no relatives, that is the settled rule. By the king's order they shall always execute the criminals, in accordance with the law, and they shall take for themselves the clothes, the beds, and the ornaments of such criminals. Right? In other words, someone has to take care of when there's executions, then they do that. And whoever gets executed, they get all their properties, not land, but their paraphernalia. You know? So then they benefit. The idea is everybody gets a benefit. Right? Nowadays, if you're the executioner, you just have a job. It's a, you know, 9-to-5 job, whatever it is. But here it's that they take care of the things. But who is executed? Their property goes to them. You know? So the point is everybody is getting benefit. The Vedic is everybody functions according to their nature, but they get things. Right? Does that make sense? Everyone's taken care of. Characteristics of those of impure origin. A man of impure origin who belongs not to any caste, varna, but whose character is not known, who, though not an Aryan, has the appearance of an Aryan, one may discover by his acts. Right? Means, in other words, by how someone acts is how you tell what they are. Behavior unworthy of an Aryan, harshness, cruelty, and habitual neglect of prescribed duties betray in this world a man of impure origin. Right, so that's how you can tell. It means behavior that an Aryan shouldn't do, right? You know, proper cleanliness, proper different, whatever it is, harshness, cruelty, and habitual neglect of prescribed duties. Yeah. So that is how you can tell the, how you say, impure origin, right? Behavior unworthy of an Aryan mentions here maliciousness.
Yeah. And let's say they just uninformed.
But still, then it's they're acting, so then they would be Vratya. So then they still count as Shankara. Though their origin may be pure, but they're not following their duties, so then they act as Vratya, so then they drop below Shudras. Because Shudras know their duty and perform it.
But it comes from their family.
So, but then they're Vratyas. That's what I'm saying. The genes may be pure, but they're Vratyas because they don't follow their duties.
They're not against this idea. If you educate them, they may follow at least some of them.
Yeah, and those that do, then that's nice. But it says, it means by education is how you can correct something. But in the case that you're mentioning is that they're Brahma Bandhus, right? So they're background is that of Brahmins, but they're not following the Brahminical nature. So by education and by the purification, they might take that up and again come to that platform, then be able to occupationally perform the Brahminical duties. You see? But only if that's done in that way. But if someone's a mix, it's that you don't necessarily have those elements there. So then that the mix itself creates these traits. You know what I'm saying? So by devotional service, then by taking on the Brahminical qualities, these traits may go away. You know what I'm saying? But because of devotional service. So in other words, the nature that they have, the conditioning, has simply been purified, but it's not changed. But because of devotional service and the good character, they're able to engage those, because what you're dealing with is elements of mixes of the actual Varnashram system. So when it's purified, then you can use them back into devotional service. So that's what we're saying, is that only through devotional service are you going to bring out these good qualities. But if we're saying, no, everyone's a devotee, it doesn't matter, that's not scientific at all. What do you mean it doesn't matter? So then, why do we need a temple president? Anybody could be the temple president. We'll all be the temple president. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So the point is it's how to identify what's there, and that only devotional service is going to correct it. But one has to be clear what you have, so therefore that's what you deal with. But since you're accepting that as an occupation, you have to follow the duties of that occupation. It's not that, oh, we're Shankara, it doesn't matter that we don't behave nicely. Does that make sense? Like that. Whatever's not proper has to be corrected. But it can only be corrected by devotional service. So again, the only solution to any of this is that. Right? But it means we're going through this only for the element that we can understand is there is natural positions of all this. So it's not a matter of sentiment, it doesn't matter. No, this is what you're working with. You know what I'm saying? You have all the kitchen utensils, you know. You can't just say, it doesn't matter, they're all for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? You know, try to serve the soup, you know, with the spoon that's got all the holes in it that you use for deep frying. No, but why you're criticizing, you know, 3 drops stayed on, you know, like that. It'll just take a little time, and you should be patient. Devotees are supposed to be patient. Why you're getting impatient? You understand? So that kind of sentiment is basically useless. The point is it does that work. It's good for deep frying. The spoon is good for serving the soup. But the spoon is not good for deep frying. You can do it, but you'll end up picking up the ghee. You can't turn things over nicely. So it doesn't do a good job. So that's the point, is that someone has the sentiment they would like to do, but that doesn't... The point is the sentiment's not enough. If they don't have the skill, what's the point? It's just sentimental. It's just because they feel like it, that's the mode of ignorance. So if that's your nature and you feel like it, that's inspiration. But if it's not your nature and you feel like it, that's just whimsical. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of being, so you know exactly what you do. So basically, however one's situated, that's what you do. Right? If you've been doing it for some time, it works. So just then, therefore, see that the quality of what you're doing is improved. Does that make sense? Right? Otherwise, it can't be sustained. Yes?
So, if we, let's say, ask someone to do a job, knowing that their nature, or not knowing that their nature is not fit for the job, and they do it, and it all goes wrong,
Right. Is
our fault that we're ignorant of their nature?
No, it's a matter of if you have a way to test their nature, then, in other words, you have to be aware that, you know, what is their nature. So you're getting to know their nature by seeing them do what's there. So in other words, if they completely mess it up, you see it's not their nature, then it's not a matter of so much that you're wrong and they're wrong, it's just they shouldn't be doing it. So you just change them to something they can do and put someone there who can do it properly. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a matter of who's to blame, it's just they're not supposed to be doing that.
Would it be a humble position to take the blame ourselves, knowing that?
But not to them. Why you should tell them? Because they can't do it anyway. So what's their business? What's your business saying that to them?
No, to us, to ourselves.
It's just a matter of, but the point is how do you know unless you test? You know what I'm saying? If you know the person that you've been working for you for a long time and you think maybe they could do this and then you try and then they can't, then you can say, okay, that's my fault. Because they were doing the other thing very nicely and very satisfied doing that. And you thought, okay, maybe they could do something else. But if you don't know them, they're coming in applying for a job or this or that, you don't really know who they are because, you know, they can put anything in their little brochure, you know? So then it's just a matter of you're testing them. So to give them a big responsibility in that, then you could say that's your fault. You shouldn't do that. But to test them in small ways to see how they're doing and all that, see the character, all those things like that, then That's, you know, in other words, it's a trial period. So the trial period is how you figure out what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? So whether they know it's a trial period or not, it's another thing. Is that a thing? Yeah. Okay. A base-born man either resembles in character his father or his mother or both. That means he resembles. So that's why you're going to see elements there. But the problem is that because of the mix, the character doesn't match. Right? It doesn't match to the occupation because it resembles, but there's something short. Right? If a man born in a great family sprang from criminal intercourse, he will certainly possess the faults of his father, be they small or great. Okay, then in regard to this, the following verses provide further illumination. The blamable marriages produce blamable children. By some scar, the child is purified by the faults of the parents. Those children considered as dweejas are to be purified by some scar. In addition to this, in this age, by the purificatory process of chanting the holy names, those of impure origin can take advantage of the Pancharatric and Vaidika systems and thus be purified of all material contamination. So in other words, they resemble the characteristics. So there is something there, but they don't have, the character will be weak. So then, because you have skill and character go together. Right? Does that make sense?
Where is that? Criminal intercourse?
Criminal intercourse.
Yeah, what is that?
Means it's intercourse that shouldn't have happened.
Accident? Accidental,
How do you get how do you get an accident? You sneezed or something, and then and then you notice that there's a baby there in the tissue or something.
Maybe like unplanned progeny.
No, the progeny is unplanned, but the activity basically kind of goes together with that. See, the thing is that the modern concept that intercourse means producing children is a byproduct. But the Vedic concept is no, that's actually what it's for. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point. If it's unplanned, that's basically criminal. Now, if it's within that the husband and wife are married, equal nature and everything, but it's unplanned, it just means the quality of the child won't be as good as if it had been planned. You know what I'm saying? It means it's a proper child. But the problem is the consciousness won't be that great. So therefore, does that make sense?
It says also that by the power of austerities, man was a seed, and then the exalted are lower. So austerities, that's important for a good progeny.
Austerity means is your duty, following your duty. So in other words, if one's performing Garbhodan and all these things, that's austerity. So the quality of the child will be greater than if you don't bother with that. And it's, yeah. Does that make sense?
Is there anything that increases the chances of son or daughter?
Didn't we discuss that? Didn't we do that in the third chapter?
He wasn't here.
Oh. Okay.
It says here that their character won't be the same regarding.
No, resemble.
Yeah, resemble, but it won't be that good as the mother father.
Yes, it won't.
We can see that those who joined and their parents are non-devotees, their character of those who joined is better than their parents.
No, but we're talking occupation. It means when you say their character is better, what aspect? It means that their father is a businessman, but he joined and he's a way better businessman. No, what you're meaning here is the character in the way of, but that's coming from that they're practicing devotional service, so then they get purified and all that. So if the parents also practice, that would improve.
So we don't talk about qualities, we talk about varna.
Specifically here, where it's meaning the varna, and the mentality that makes that varna work. Like that. So that's because that's what this chapter is about. This is all about occupation. We're not discussing ashram. Ashram finished with the sixth chapter. Right? So the elements of that, but the point is they're connected. So they have an effect on each other. But at the same time as they're different. So great detail was done on the ashram. So now they're going into detail on varna. So there's the natural form of it, which is given in 7, 8, and 9. In 10th, then it's a matter of when the situation is such that you can't perform, you don't have the opportunity to perform the duties. Right? The situations aren't ideal. Then it's dealing with that kind of situation. So what causes that is the mix of the caste. Right? Because then you get all kinds of people that don't really know what they're doing or aren't qualified to do what they're doing. So that then throws the system off. All right, let's say like medicine. Okay? Medicine, who's supposed to be in control of the medical field? Brahmanas. Okay. But who owns hospitals? Who owns the pharmaceutical industry? Okay, and what do they do with it? Make lots of money. They're the biggest, you know, how you say, money-making things in the world. Right? And because of that, then there's an anxiety about people being able to maintain their health because it's so expensive. But now if it was back in the hands of the Brahmins, it wouldn't be like that. So then so much money is left to go do day-to-day stuff. Because, I mean, what is it? It's some herbs. How much does that cost? You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, as you take the herbs and put it into a fancy pill, and it costs, you know, 10 times, 1,000 times what it's worth. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, 1,000 times what it's worth, that means you're cutting money out of the person's just day-to-day living. So therefore, everything gets thrown upside down. That's why it's not supposed to be mixed. You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty. You know, so there's some mix there of relating to medicine or that, or they're engaging, you know what I'm saying? So yeah.
So Maharaj, here it is recommended that even if it is mixed, it's good to know our occupation and stick to our...
Yes. In other words, if they're business persons, they're not supposed to work in these fields. Or if they're doing it, then the point is because medicine is supposed to be something that's for people's benefit, is supposed to be affordable. So if you want to do it, then make money by volume. Don't make money by markup.
Yes.
But they want markup and volume. You know, I mean, just they're complete demons, that's all. It's just that the greed and the thing, you can't be satisfied. So it's just whatever they can do, and it doesn't matter what happens to anybody because it's, you know, them and their family as long as they're okay. It doesn't matter. So it completely messes the whole social fabric up. And because they're Vaishyas, they have no idea what's going on, because then if there's money, everything's perfect.
Yes.
But it's actually when you have, you know, personal relationships based on, you know, some quality, then the things work nicely. They take that for granted. Oh, that's automatic. That just happens because people have feelings. Mm-hmm. Right? But the point is they have money. That's why anybody likes them. That same person, if they didn't have money,
yes,
who would be their friend? Would their family members even stay around? You know what I'm saying? So there's a good chance not. They might, but there's a good chance not. You know, so they have no idea what they're doing. So that's why it's okay, if you're going to do business, then follow the rules of business. Just like if you fancy yourself a Brahmin, then follow the rules of that. A Kshatriya, follow the rules of that. You can't be... You just do whatever you like. I'm a manager, I'll do whatever I like. No, there's rules, you have to follow them. Business, I'll do whatever I like. You can't do it in the material world. Businessman does whatever he likes, he'll get put in jail.
Yes.
Right? So the whole point is then if it works like that there, they understand that you have to, there are rules within each, though it's not so scientific what rules apply where, you know. But so why wouldn't it be within the society of devotees? No, devotees, we can do whatever we want and then complain how we don't have something as organized as the karmis have. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but notice we always look at the non-Aryan karmis. We never look at the Indian businessmen or the Indian kshatriyas or the Indian brahmins or even the Indian shudras. You know what I'm saying?
We don't look to the real karmi.
Yes, we don't look to the real karmi. We look to the karmi bandhu. The friend of the karmi. Yes.
Maharaj, so a chandala making the most out of a bad bargain would be to see through that devotional service is primary.
Right.
The occupation that is only doing what's necessary to maintain. So that means his occupation would be shudra while developing his brahminical qualities?
You could say that. It means it might be, as a devotee, one might be able to function in that brahminical environment, but it would be more based on the devotional effort. You know? Whether it might be, because the point is you get the nature from the mother, that he might be able to even perform those occupational elements, but there needs to be the purification to bring one to that platform. Right? Does that make sense? But otherwise, generally, the natural occupation would be that of a shudra. Right? Like that. But he has the qualities of both the mother and the father. Both are there. So you just have to see how it comes out. Because in devotional service, most everything we do is brahminical anyway. You know what I'm saying? So, because you're, it's just like, let's say within the house, right? Somebody's managing and protecting and this and that. Someone's seeing the education. There's the economic element. So it's not that you're technically labeling. You just know, the point is why it's gone through that if you're doing the brahminical activities, these are the qualities that you have to use. If you're doing the kshatriya, this is what you have to use. If you're using the vaishya, that's what you have to use. Right? In other words, does that make sense? Yeah, so that's why devotees look at it, because if you're taking up this duty, that's what you do. Right? Because devotees might change what they're doing. They, you know, they're another preacher, then they become a temple president, and then after that they do something else. So it's when you're doing that thing, there is the natural conduct and the natural view that how you look at it. Right? So it's just a matter of you take whatever the situation now and practice devotional service, and then you see where it goes from there. Like
how within ISKCON we devotees should proceed so that we can follow these things and do our devotional service, and how to improve the society.
But when you say proceed, what do you mean by proceed?
Proceed means following the Dharmika culture and doing our occupational duties.
Okay, so what is the duty that you're doing? Where does it fit in? So what's the rules? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You're a pujari, so then what are the rules on how pujaris, what they do? What's the character by which they do it? Mm-hmm. Then follow that. Right? Does that make sense? And you're performing your devotional service, your sadhana. So then that sadhana is being practiced, and by that, one's getting purified, that will have the effect of making it easier to perform your occupation. But the real point is if it's all being done for Krishna, that's the actual thing that's going to create the best position. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
But as in ISKCON society at large,
but it was saying that there's Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. There's not a fifth, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we've established that ashram is brahminical. Mm-hmm. So then, how are you making your money? How are you successful? You understand? Each individual is doing it in a certain way, so you do that. something, something. The person comes to the temple and takes part in the program. Does it matter what varna he is?
No.
So then that doesn't matter. But when he goes home and goes to work, he follows the rules that apply to his work. Right? Now, if in the temple they need something to be done, let's say, economically, then people who know economics, they should give advice. But people who don't know economics, they shouldn't be saying what should be done. Right? Other than it should be done for Krishna. But those who know it, they should come up with a plan. Does that make sense? Because the point is, if you knew how to do business, you'd already be doing it. Right? So if you're not doing it, then why now you would be doing it? Does that make sense? But that kingdom in which such Varna Shankara, selling the purity of the castes, are born, perishes quickly together with its inhabitants.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Yes, confirmed. Yeah. I mean, you just see all the difficulties are going on is because no one knows what they're supposed to do, this, that, right? Means the businessmen, means they're businessmen, but they're not actually acting on all the principles of business. So they're taking advantage of the workers, right? And then the workers are just suffering, right? Then another businessman comes along, and because he can't make money, compete with those other businessmen, he takes on the plight of the workers and makes a business out of that. And so then you have the businessmen trying to get their work done and exploit on the side. And instead of just trying to stop just the exploitation, they're also trying to take advantage of that. So then you have this workers want to not work, and he wants to make them overwork. So then you kind of get some kind of work in the middle. Like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem, is that then how does anything go on? You know? The simplest thing, you can't get anything done because of somebody's, you know, that shouldn't be in that position is doing something with it. You know?
Kayastha, it's mentioned that Ramana Maharshi was...
Kayastha.
Kayastha means...
Yeah. That means they're dvijas who are performing Shudra work. The dvija who performs the Shudra work means like office work. They're Kayastha. That's why they're so good. They're because they have the intelligence to work on the higher level, but they're working on this lower level. Does that make sense? So the point is that Shudra level, he's the governor of you know, the Madras province, which means basically South India. You know? So that means he's very qualified. But he's doing that just as a job for the king. Does that make sense? You know, he has a, you know, like that. So that's the... So Shudra can be very big. So much of the time we take it, Shudra has to be, you know, some guy out with a jackhammer, you know. Of course you have to have a beer belly also, like that. Otherwise you wouldn't really be a proper Shudra. But the point is you know, these guys that fly around first class, stay in the 5-star hotels, and are making all these business deals all over the world, they're all Shudras. There are some businessmen involved, right? But the guy that you generally send there, who he talks to, if they're the ones that decide the deal, they're the Vaishyas. But if it's that the representative of the other company, that he's their Shudra. And they're all making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, they're living it up, they, you know, So the concept of what's a Shudra, we don't appreciate. So otherwise, then, you know, Shudras can be, I mean, the guy's an entertainer, right? You know? He's a big celebrity. Everybody knows him. He makes millions. But he's a Shudra. You know? But, you know, these things aren't appreciated.
You said also Louis Vuitton. The person who makes the Louis Vuitton handbags. Also high-grade Shudra.
Yeah, like that. But then somebody figured out how to make it into the business. So either they are able to function that way, they have that element, but then you see then the quality of the material may go, but if they can maintain that, so you just have to see where they're functioning. You know, so many times you have these, that's what I'm saying, is you have people that they have very good skills, but they can't market, so then something that is not as good, businessmen are marketing it. So it's more known than something of better quality. Does that make sense? You know, it's only coming kind of up, so now you hear about Louis Vuitton. But then there's also these, you know, shoes, what is it? Louboutin, right, like that. That guy, he never, it means people who know the shoes and know them, but otherwise, who's heard of them? You know? There's so many of these fashion houses no one's ever heard of. But people who move in those circles, then they do. You know? Like some, I forget what it was, some Salvador or something. And, you know, you see them here and there. And can't even remember what's the names. But it means the stuff is like 10 times more expensive than what you know is like, you know, Calvin Klein or things like that. Those are kind of, you know, guys know how to do business.
Or is it what is it that makes the person not be able to, because they don't have the same vision, they're not able to market like that?
Means they could be small businessmen, they don't have the vision, or they just have the skilled trades, they have ideas, but they can't put it all together. You know, in other words, they know how to make the thing. But the point is how to market it's another thing. Like before, is you didn't have it. It was the best, so everyone went there. Like I was saying about the people who make those musical instruments. They were the best in India, so if you wanted that kind of instrument, you went to them. But their shop is it means the size of that lower area that you're sitting in, that's the size of their shop. And it's still the same size, and it's still got the same shine that was probably painted 30 years ago. You know? And whether they're even still functioning, I have no idea. I haven't walked in. But they were, in their day, were the best in India. You know? So many of these guys who were the best, then nobody even knows about them. Devotees are going to this shop, and that's the place to get the this and that, and they got all the pictures on the walls of, you know, Ravi Shankar's there, this one is there, that one's there. Because Vaishyas know how to get in there and take the picture. Right? You know, come up, shake the hand, take the picture. You know, come up, present it with the instrument, take the picture, you know, and then everybody, you know, comes and buys it. But they're not the good ones. The good ones, you know, some little thing down a little gully upstairs, up on the thing like this, and you walk in, and it's just a falling apart, you know, their house, in the back of their house, they make the instruments. So they have the skill, but they don't have the business thing. So previously that didn't matter, because you needed the thing, you found who was good at it. But nowadays, you market it. Right? You see an advertisement 7 times, then the tendency is to be interested. So that's why they try to put it up so much, so that in the shortest possible time, you've at least seen it 7 times. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Let's say the business is making a profit and the ideas are coming through and it's all happening. So in that case, and obviously when that happens, it's going to be a detriment to devotional life because there's less time to, there's more things going on in the mind, therefore there's less attention to devotional life. So in that case, is it wrong to have the attitude that I should peel back and focus on devotional life, or is this Krishna awarding me with good karma?
Well, it's not so much called karma, it's just a matter of ability. The idea is that one student doesn't want to spend more than 8 hours a day on occupation, right? Unless the occupation happens to be, you know, worshipping the deities or something, then you can spend more than 8 hours. You don't have to worry like that. So that's what you want to actually put into. So you want to make sure that your main thought about it, main endeavor in it, is going to be during that time. So naturally, now and again, outside of that, something will come up and this and that. You don't worry about that. Does Does that make sense? So you see that it's done within that amount of time. The other thing is what's going to happen with the results from the business. So the business is prospering. Then what's going to happen with the results from that? So if that's being used in Krishna's service, then that's also service to, you know, make the business improve. Does that make sense?
So if we say that the result is going to be used for Krishna's service, and if we, for example, work 12 hours instead of 8, so that you can give more result to Krishna, is that a weird attitude?
That's okay, but then one should be thinking about how it's for Krishna. And it's by Krishna's grace you're coming up with that, the intelligence, that's Krishna's grace. So the more you can work Krishna into it, it's better. It's just a matter of, it's just that it shouldn't take time out of the sadhana, but the problem is it'll take time out of your lifestyle. So as long as your lifestyle can handle it, okay. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is if there's family, they need time also. So if more goes into business, then less goes into family. But if one doesn't, the family's cool with that, then, or there is no family, then it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Because one has to balance the sadhana, the occupation, and the family. Right? So if there's no family, then it leaves more time for sadhana and occupation. Does that make sense? So you just have to figure out what works at the particular time that you're applying.
Facebook wouldn't be considered family.
I mean, I would like to say yes, but unfortunately, no. But, you know, it's probably better than no family, you know, like that. I'm not even sure if you could count them as friends, but, you know. Okay. Improvement in the character of mixed varnas. Okay. Abstention from injuring creatures. Veracity. Abstention from unlawfully appropriating the goods of others. Purity and control of the organs. Manu is declared to be the summary of the law for the four castes. Because before we had the 10, those are the qualities. These are the applications of them. So then by applying it in this way, then you can also cultivate, therefore, the character. Right? So you can improve the character by doing things properly, not hurting anybody. Veracity is what? Truthfulness. Have to go back to 10 and see what it is. Ooh, I took 10 out. I don't know if I put it back. Someone had a question. I took out the page, so I don't know if I put it back. Because otherwise, I can't look it up now.
What, four regular principles that are marked?
That's just control of the organs. Truth. Okay. Truth, abstention from. So, truth then means you're cultivating, you know, knowledge of Krishna. Abstention of unlawfully appropriating the goods of others, so you don't take things that you shouldn't. Whether it's called thievery, you know, it's openly or it's not. Right? In other words, selling things for more than what they should be sold for is also unlawfully appropriating the goods of others. Right? But you may not call it stealing.
Isn't that most things, selling it for what it's really worth?
Worth means there's worth and profit. It means you have to make a profit. That's how business works, is that means for you it's worth this much, but then the point is you've gotten it, you've transported it, you've done so many things, so then there must be something, and you have to get something for your time, so you put that much on top of it. Does that make sense? You know, so then that's how business works. You make profit. So it's what it's worth, because the other person wouldn't be able to get that. It's just a matter of, you know, then there's what it's worth and then what the market will bear. So previously it was, you know, I mean, before it was like you had something and there's a 20% markup, that was the standard. But now it's just whatever the market will handle. you know, if it'll handle a 5% or if it'll handle a 10,000%, it doesn't matter. So if that's what they'll pay, then...
But if we do that, is that still
favoring? The point is if, how are you going to use the money? If you're using it for Krishna, then fine. You know? You know, so one should just be more careful. You understand? Because that's what business means, it's satyan rita. So that means half truth, half lie. Like that, because you can't tell the truth in business. You know, people don't expect it, so you can't tell. Because they won't act properly either. Even if you told them, they wouldn't act properly. Does that make sense? Yeah.
That's what put Vaishya in passion and ignorance.
Passion, yeah.
Yeah, because they're telling lie and passion because they're doing and giving something.
Yeah, you can say that would have that effect. But it's just, the point is even if even a Brahmin's doing business, you can't tell the truth about the business. Because people can't, they don't have the character to work like that. You know, so it's just, like I told the story, there was one devotee, you know, they're traditional business people, right? And then he had someone who was like a close friend, who was not a business person. And so then he came to the shop and said, you know, found something he liked and said, you know, how much for this? And I think he said, you know, it's, I forget what it was, but it was, you know, 300 and something. And he said, I'll give you, you know, 150. He said, no. He says, you know, you have to give that. He says, no, but, you know, your friend should give, you know, like this. So he says, okay, I'll give it to you for this. Say 325. And he says, no, but I'll only give you, you know, 175. He says, but then it cost me this much. He actually told him the price. Then there's the transportation and that, the shop and all that. So therefore, it's this much, right? And so I when I say 325, that's cost. And the other person, oh no, I'll give you 175, like that. And he says, then take it for free. I'll give a donation, but I won't lose money. You know what I'm saying? Business means at least you break even. Or I'll give it in charity to you. And the person wouldn't agree. And he gave him that, whatever it is, and laughing, smiling, thought he did a good thing and walked off. So you can't tell him what it is. You know? So because he's told him that, he went for, you know, 50 below. So if he had insisted on 400, then he probably would have settled for, you know, 325, and he would have, you know, given it to him at that point. But then, you know, where's the element of the friendship and doing that? You can't. So the point is in business, you can't tell people actually what it is, because one, they can't deal with it, you know. And then two is then they'll tell everybody, oh, it's only this much, and then no one will buy it. Because it's not the concept that you have to make profit on. You went to all the trouble to get it and make it available for them. You know what I'm saying? You want subject. You go down to the ghat, get on the boat, and be there at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning. You can get all the subs you want. You know, and then buy it there, haggle with everybody, go through, know what's good in that, and bring it back and take it home. You know, but it'll take you, you know, a few hours, you know. So then the shops and the boundary, they get it for you, and then they make some profit off of that. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the problem. You know, no, but in Navadvipa it's this much. If you want it, that go to Navadvipa. That's all. Of course, it'll be cheaper over there. They didn't drag it over here. Is that right?
The same happened yesterday in Kolkata when we were coming to the station. So the meter was saying something, and he's asking something more than that. So we paying the actual rate of the meter that he said they wanted to give to me. Take your money back to you.
Yeah, because in other words, the meter think keeps going up and they have to keep changing. Calcutta meters are crazy. Bombay was the funniest, though. You'd have the little things and it said, you know, you drove, you know, for, you know, an hour and it says, you know, 5 rupees, you know, and then you look on the chart, so that cancels into, that costs you, you know, 493. How does that? Because they didn't bother changing the meters. Calcutta, the little bit changed, but not this. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada.